Welcome to Module 2. This will be the first time that you'll actually get to fill in as we go along with this lecture and as you do your reading with your study guide that's entitled The Business and Environment of Racing. Number one, racing, sport, entertainment, or gambling? Certainly, if you asked 10 different people at the racetrack or on the street, you probably get 10 different answers. Is racing truly sport, like basketball, football, or baseball? Is it truly 100% entertainment, like going to the movies, like going to Disneyland, places like that? How about Knott's Berry Farm? Or is it strictly gambling? It's playing the lottery. It's going to the casino. It's visiting the local riverboat. Well, in reality, racing is a combination of all three. And depending on what racetrack you're at and what part of the country, the percentage of each will certainly be different. If there are racetracks in the same city, it's the same town, you might have different percentages given the different racetrack. So basically, racing really needs to figure out, and the people in racing, what part of it is most appropriate for their track and their part of the country and their customers. Number two, the term paramutual. Very, very important. This is what separates the racing business from the casino business. Paramutual means betting amongst ourselves, and in some references, you'll see that it was kind of the shortened acronym for Paris Mutual, where this kind of system was actually created. This means that you do not bet against the house, but you are playing against the other people at the racetrack. In effect, you are pooling your money. The racetrack only acts as the agent that holds the money for you, and you, in effect, are betting with the other people there at the racetrack or people who are betting on the races from another racetrack in the simulcasting. We will go into simulcasting in a later module. But basically, you are not betting against the house. Look around. Those are your competitors. What the racetrack makes and how they pay their bills is from the small percentage that they take, pretty much as the cost of doing business, for you to have someone look after your money and make sure that the payments are split up properly and fairly. How big is the industry? You have some sheets that talk about the size of the industry and basically the economic impact of horses and racing in the U.S. That study was done by the Barents Group late in 1996, so the numbers are somewhat dated, but this is the last time that a major economic impact study like this was done. You will notice that although the total number of horses attributed to racing are fairly small, 10% number of people, 7% in the overall picture, the amount of money and the value of racing in the overall equine industry is tremendous at 30 and 40%. Those are very important facts to keep in mind. And wagering activities, the paramutual handle looks huge, $18 billion, and this was a couple of years ago, but when you look at it compared to the U.S. legal betting handle, we still are a very small part of it. So we do have a betting handle that's going up every year, but there are a lot of people wagering on things out there other than the horse racing. I might have you note that it does say in wagering activities this is U.S. legal betting handle. There are hundreds of millions of dollars that are bet illegal out there that we don't keep, certainly cannot keep track of. So it is a very large industry. It's big business. But who's in charge? It's not a neat and tidy system with a structure that's very easy to go through from point A to point B. Quite realistically, if racing didn't exist and it was redesigned today, I'm certain that it would be put together in a much different format. If you think of master planned communities with roads and streets that are on a perfect grid or a perfect circle, and it's very clear where things are going, that is certainly not the way racing is structured. Visualize streets in old towns. I use an example of Boston, where a lot of the streets even used now were cattle trails way back in the old days, and they criss and they cross and they come back, and it looks just like a spider web. Well, that is, in effect, how the web of racing is put together. So it's very hard to have a logical place to start and follow through, so we may have to jump around a little bit. But who is in charge? If you would draw a triangle, and each point of the triangle would be labeled state, the next track, and the next horseman, that's a very good way to visualize what's going on. The state. Rules and regulations vary state by state. Each state has the individual right to determine the rules of racing. It is certainly very highly regulated because of the gambling aspect, but each state is its own separate entity. So anyone involved in racing has to be aware of the rules and regulations of that particular jurisdiction. Most of the items that are regulated are the same, although the specifics may be different. For example, one state may have a fairly hands-off approach, while another, the racetrack may actually have to request the racing of the racing commission to even change the price of a Coke. The track, and in most cases, we're going to talk about some exceptions later. For most of the time, the track is owned by a private individual or a corporation. They own the facility, they promote the business, and take the business risk. Most tracks are very expensive. You have a lot of land, a lot of real estate, you have a wonderful grandstand. The cheapest racetracks to build these days will run about $40 million, with the better racetracks and the larger racetracks costing upwards of $100 million to create. There's certainly a lot of investment there. Unlike pro teams, they don't own the stars or the horses. The owners and trainers, the horsemen, do. So we have one person, one entity that owns the stage, and another that owns the actors. The actors, if you will, are the horses, and the horsemen are in charge of that. They own the stars. They also take a financial risk because they put their investment into creatures with four legs and living, eating, breathing entities. They do race over the grounds that are owned by the racetrack, so they have to rely on the racetrack to offer them a safe place for their horses to compete. One of the newer issues faced by the racing industry is the ownership of images, the horses, the jockeys, logos, sponsorship. Certainly nothing at this point has been determined, but we did recently have an issue with jockeys wearing advertising on the side of their pants during the Triple Crown series. In some of those jurisdictions hosting the Triple Crown races, that is legal. It happens to not be legal in the state of Kentucky. So we will still will be seeing how things like that play out as we go. The three entities above, state, track, and horsemen, certainly must work together. Although each one seems to have the opinion that you can't get along without me, the true fact is that none of them can get along without the other. And so if one does well, it's usually at the expense of another. Because if you think of it as a piece of pie, if someone's piece of the or percentage of the pie gets larger, the other two guys' percentages get smaller. So in order to increase the viability and the health of the racing business, we have to make the entire pie larger. So where does the money come? I'm on number 5, a piece of the pie. If you draw a circle, consider that handle. And if you would draw 3 very small slices in that pie, and label one purse, one track, and one state, you've really got that visualized. We're going to go down and talk about some of these terms now. Handle. Handle is the total amount of money bet. We can talk about handle of a particular race, handle of the day, handle for the year at that track, or national handle. But that's the total amount bet. It is not the amount of money that the racetrack makes. That's a mistake that, and a misperception that most people who are not involved or not familiar with the racing industry makes. Handle is just the amount of money bet. Takeout. Takeout is the cost of doing business. It is the cost, it is what you pay, a tax, if you will, for the racetrack to provide the service of a place for people to come to bet with others. There will be an example, and a very broken down example, of where takeout goes in California. But the big picture, if we're going to simplify it, takeout goes to purses, to pay the horsemen, you have to pay the players. It goes to the track. The track has to pay the light bill, the phone bill, and pay the mortgage on their facility. And to the state. The state is always there to pick up their percentage as a tax. I'm sure there's nothing that you've ever purchased, or very few things, that you haven't paid tax on. Racing is the same as anything else. We must pay a tax to the state for the privilege of doing business in the state. Straight or exotic wagers. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But basically, a straight wager means you're betting on a single horse, a horse to finish first, second, or third. Takeout on those wagers is between 15 and 20% across the country. Remember, each state is different, and each state will have a little different percentage. An exotic is a multiple horse wager, either picking the horses that will finish first, second, and third in a single race, or the horse that finishes first in 3 consecutive races. Those would be examples. So a straight wager is one with a single horse. Exotic has multiple horses. Breakage. We'll talk about breakage and uncashed tickets in a later section when we talk specifically about parimutuels and the details of the handle. Racing's changing environment. You have this in your printouts, competition, the social scene, and regulation. In the big picture, without going through each one individually, racing used to have no competition. It was the only legal form of gambling, and there was truly very little entertainment in the country. Now there's everything. We are entertainment overload. The social scene, certainly in the old days, and I'm referring to the old days as 1960, 1950, and before, the who's who, the old money, the people that were respected by the general population, the movie stars, many were involved in racing, and the very moneyed families of this country, many of them were totally involved in racing and had farms. So having thoroughbreds or any sorts of racehorses was really puts you way up in the social standing. Anymore, the sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters of these families, they don't own racehorses anymore. They'll own franchises of ball teams. They'll own a number of other things, but racing isn't really on their radar screen anymore. So we're not really featuring the who's who, although we do have quite a few more stars who have been involved in racing, more recently. We may see an upturn also with the upcoming movie Seabiscuit. Regulation. Until recently, racing was, and gambling, was still somewhat considered a sin, and with also no competition, the state was able to highly tax the racing business. Sin tax, just the same as on alcohol and tobacco, the state would allow it to happen, but it would be heavily taxed. They'd get their piece of the pie. Now with the advent of states being in competition with racing by way of state lotteries and a number of other things that are legal in the state, the racetracks no longer are the cash cow for the states, and the parimutuel tax has actually been reduced. You will see some examples, and please don't worry that you're going to have to memorize all this, but examples from Kentucky and Louisiana as to how complicated takeout can be. For our purposes, we think about the three basic elements that are part of takeout. The money that goes to the horsemen in purses, the money that stays at the racetrack, and the money that goes to the state. The other details are very small percentages, and are interesting to look at, but you certainly do not need to memorize any of those things. It would be a good idea to go through and look at the parimutuel betting dollar, general rules of thumb. We will go through the Greyhound part specifically in the Greyhound. The business of racing. It's a big business, and we'll go through the details of it in upcoming chapters.